Yeah, my name is Lyle. And that's something I don't wonder about today, what a calling is, but it's something I used to wonder exactly what a calling is. How do you know when you're called? Is a calling always easy? So if I title this little talk tonight, it's not going to be real long, but if I title this talk tonight, it would be titled, The Comfort or the Calling? The Comfort or the Calling? When God calls you, let's look back at the patriarchs before we even get to ourselves. Let's look back at the examples. It says that we are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Those witnesses are people like Abraham, Isaac, Noah, and the people who did things that Gideon that seemed crazy. See, it doesn't seem so crazy when you read about these people today because we know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. But you can just imagine the calling on Abraham. Abraham was rich. He was in a land with all his kinfolks and all his people. It's cool to be around your people and your kinfolks because if something goes wrong, you got help. Isn't that cool? Makes it simple. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I need you to get up, leave your country, leave the town, leave your kinfolks, and go to a land I'll show you. How many people ever moved? How many people like moving? One of the worst jobs in the world, isn't it? Even though you're excited to get to the new place, but moving is one of the worst jobs in the world. Imagine God telling Abraham, get up and move, and not tell him where you're going. Andy, imagine you get a call tonight. Say, Andy, what's that? You look around, what's that? He says, hey, Andy, I need you to get up, pack your stuff, and move. So that you say to yourself, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. How many of us want to be obedient to God? In our hearts of hearts, we all want to do the best we know how. And as you start packing, you say, oh, Lord, okay, I've got my stuff packed now. I've got my last, got my razor and my socks. So the last I got it all packed. Now where am I going? And he said, I'll tell you when you get there. Think about that. That seems like the craziest thing in the world. Leave your comfort zone. You're in the bed. You got your socks all folded neat in this drawer, your underwear in that drawer, your towels are in here. You know, your razor's on the shelf, your kitchen's clean, everything is where you want it to be, your cabinet full. You got those steaks in the freezer you bought last week, you're going to put on those ribs on the grill this weekend, you got it all plotted out. But this is your comfort zone. How hard is it to leave your comfort zone to go to the calling? Because the first thing you look at people like Moses. When God called Moses, Moses was scared. See, we know the end of the story. See, we know the end of the story of Abraham also. But the beginning of the story, Abraham was just like you and me. Abraham would be just like the brother here. And then he says, well, where do you want me to go? I'll tell you when you get there. How quick would you go at that point? It'd be hard to move. And then you're definitely not going to talk her into going. You know what I mean? But Abraham had to talk his wife. He went to his wife. See, that's one way you know there's a calling on your life and a situation, because people aren't going to always feel what you feel, but God is going to fix hearts and minds to receive you. Because I know today, if you walk in and tell her, hey, we're moving, she say, where are you going? I don't know. She, you got to be nuts. You got to wrestle her up off the couch. But Abraham was able to go in and do that, to tell his wife, and she got up and followed him. He left his family, he left that, the thing, and went out tracing through the desert. He left where they had wells and everything he needed. He went up and he left his comfort to go to his calling, not fully understanding what it was going to be like, what he was going to encounter along the way. How many people think that Abraham knew everything he was going to encounter all the way? How many people think that Abraham wasn't afraid of nothing that he encountered all along the way? How many people think that? There's a story in here where he went to Abimelech and he was so frightened because Abimelech looked at his wife and thought she was pretty. And he wanted her. And Abraham said, "Oh, Lord, they're going to kill me for my wife." So he told his wife, "Hey, tell them that you're my sister. Tell them that you're my sister." This was during his calling. See, when you call, it's not going to always be easy. See, because those are the tests. Those become the tests. God, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, for whom he calls, he qualifies. It's in whom he qualifies, he justifies. Because somebody will say, "Man, how in the world can you send Toby to run a 13-step house? He was. Not only did God call him to do it, he qualified him. And then when the voices start saying, "Well, how can you? He justified him. That's part of the calling. But Abraham was afraid. And he said, "This is my sister." So since this was his sister, Abimelech sent for her. Because back in those days, the king could send for the subjects. He sent for her. "Bring her to my room." Now Abraham's standing outside. I can only imagine. I'm paraphrasing. He's standing outside looking up at that window with the light on, walking back and forth, knowing his wife is up here in this man's bedroom. How good would you feel about that? See, the light on wouldn't be so bad, but when the light go off, now I'm getting a little nervous. You start getting a little regretful of your decision. But when God calls you, how many know that God is with you? That's what we got to get to understand tonight. In the calling, he's with you. Yeah, it appears that you're not walking in the comfort anymore, but God is with you. Because the king, he was the taker. He didn't know about God. He was the taker. He wanted to get out. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Hey, don't you touch that woman. That's that man's wife." And he knew at this point, if I do something to this woman, there's going to be some problems between me and God. He wasn't scared of Abraham. Let's not get it twisted. See, you don't have to worry about you because you're not the one doing the fight. The Lord said that the battle was his and not ours. He's going to fight the battle for you when you want it for him. So when he did that, he got his clothes on and ran on back behind the screen and sent for Abraham and said, "Hey, why did you do this thing to me? Why did you do this? Are you trying to kill me? Why would you tell me she's your sister and this is your wife?" He said, "Please take her out of here. Get that curse up off of us." But see, even in the calling, Abraham was nervous. You have been called. Some of you don't think that yet, but you've been called. And in the calling, you get nervous because you know you. You know the fallible you. You know what you look like naked. You know what you look like in the bathroom. You know the things that you're afraid of. You know the things that you don't think you know. You know the things that you don't understand. And in compiling that in your mind in the calling, you become afraid. Because I'm not like him. I'm not like her. I can't do what they called me to do. I didn't finish school. I didn't have any friends. I didn't grow up with any parents. I came from an orphanage. I just got out of prison. I'm an old dope fiend. All these things come between the calling. We all have one thing in common, whether you believe it or not. And if you don't have this in common with me, raise your hand. We all got one thing in common. That's the need to feel good. Who in here does not have the need to feel good? Raise your hand. If you're cold, you're going to put on a jacket or a blanket. If you're hot, you're going to open a window or turn on the fan, the air conditioner, you're going to fan yourself. If you've got a headache, you're going to try to find something to relieve that headache. We have a need to feel good, and it does not feel good going into the unknown. It does not feel good going into something where you're expected to do something. See, but here's the good news. In your calling, it's not you doing it. In your calling, it's not you doing it. He told Jeremiah, you go, and I'll speak. He's telling you, you go, and I'll deal with it. You go, and I'll deal with it. The Lord said, let's go back in my life. I was a dope fiend, a liar, and a thief. Stole from almost everybody I knew when I was on dope. There were people looking to take my life. Out there in the game, I got shot. In the game, I got stabbed. In the game, I got hit upside the head with a baseball bat and got jumped by several people. When I got saved, when God delivered me, he cleaned me up. He fixed me up. He put a fire down inside of me. And when he did, I stood up. He said, now go. I need you to go where nobody else goes. You know that old seedy hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning where won't nobody go because they're scared? The place where the cabs won't even stop? I need you to go because I got children out there who need help. And when they call you, I need you to get up and go. And my brother used to tell me, baby, you got to be careful. Because there were people looking for you from those back in those days. Now, I've been saved now 10 years, about 10 years. There's people, I said, Mama, either I believe the word of God or I don't believe it. The word of God says, when a man's ways please God, he'll make even his enemies at peace with him. He said, he'll make even his enemies. I have ran across some people. I ran across a drug dealer. And I was with Marvin when this happened. We were in the courthouse. I'm a mentor in the courthouse because Marvin allowed helped me to get in, and God made me a mentor in the courthouse. And I'm in the courthouse working along with Wendy Davis. And I look up in the jury box and I see a man who pulled a big old sword on me way back in the day. And then he had said some wrong things to the girl that I was hanging out with. So she said, Lyle, we got to go get him. I called one of my fellow gangster disciples. Said, man, I need a favor. He said, what's going on? I said, I want to rob this dude, man, but I don't have a pistol or nothing. And he came. And the three of us got together. He said, this is what we're going to do. He said, Lyle, they're probably going to search us when we go to the door. He told the girl, I'm going to put my pistol in your pants in the back. Pull your coat down over your pistol. He said, I'm going to go in there. And he gave us, because I was broke, because I was a dope fiend, I hardly had any money. I hadn't made no link. He gave me a 20, gave her a 20. He said, look, we're going to buy two rocks. And when y'all sit down, I'm going to peep the scene out. He said, if I throw my forks in the air, that means we're getting him. So we go in there. And I said, oh, I get me a rock. And being a good dope fiend I was, I'm going to get me a quick hit. That's what dope fiends do. So I hurry up and get me a quick hit before we get the business. But I'm looking at myself, it's too many people. I said, no, we ain't going to do this. Too many people are here. And he threw the forks up. When he threw his forks up, that was her cue to come sit in his lap. He was going to kiss her, reach behind and pull the gun out. He goes and does that. He pulls the gun out. And when he tells everybody, he tells them to get out. When he tells me to get on, this dude had pulled that knife on me, see? And I remember that. I had the upper hand. So we jumped him. Me and the girl were with him, and she kicked his teeth out. She took the pistol, knocked his teeth out. We robbed him. We took everything. Years later, God saved my life. I'm a man of God, a Christian, ordained minister, mentor, man of God, doing the best I know how to live right. Standing on those promises that when a man's ways please God, he'll make his enemies be at peace with him. Now, I hadn't seen that man, didn't know what I was going to do when I ever saw him. Now, I'm in the court with Marvin. Lo and behold, we're there together. I look up in the jury box and I see this guy. I said, oh my God, this is him. This is that guy. I hadn't seen him in all these years. And so I kind of stand back away. You know, I know he's not going to do nothing in the thing, but still, I just kind of stand back, you know, wait out of the crowd. And you know, how many people know God's not going to let you hide? Try it. When he calls you, try to hide. The judge called me, Mr. Kelso, will you come here? And I walk up front, yes, ma'am. And she points to that man. She said, this is Mr. Kelso. Said, Mr. Kelso, I've been where you are. Said, Mr. Kelso, will you go over to the jury box and sit next to him and talk to this man? Hey, man, God's got a sense of humor. You know what I mean? This is a true story. So I go over and I sit down and talk to this man. And for a little, the man began to receive. Now, the man is struggling. I see him today sometimes. He's still struggling. But what I'm saying, that's not about the man. It's about the calling. God will put you in situations that don't make any sense. That's why it's supernatural. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy to sit back in the comfort. But we need to get into the calling. We need to get out there into the calling. When I first started going out at night, so I didn't have a car, and I used somebody's car, and a guy came to my house one day and said, come on, ride with me, Lyle. I said, come on, all right. Oh, pastor, I'm riding with him. We go over to this car shop and look on this lot. There's a Cadillac up there, trimmed in gold, with trim gold. He said, you see that car there? I said, yeah, that's pretty nice. He said, you want it? I said, well, I'd love to have it, but, you know, my money's not right like that now. He said, no, man, that's my car. And he gave me the keys. He gave me the keys. Because whom he called, he qualifies. Just because he's called you. But just because you don't see the things manifest yet, because it's not time to get to that step yet. When it gets time to get to that step, here he comes. He gave me, so I began to go out at night and I began to do what he asked me to do. I began to go out in the highways and byways. I began to tell my story. I began to show up. And then God opened doors and began to put more and more on me as far as giving me opportunity or giving me resources to help people. So I'm not out here just running my mouth. We're able to help people. We're able to do something. But what if I had to stay in my comfort zone? When I first got saved, I came home and was living in my sister at this big old house. I was living in the barber. He used to come get me and bring me to this meeting. I lived down in the basement, big old TV. I've got it laid out. I got three or four gals calling. That's one other day, though, about them gals. Because sometimes them gals are a distraction. They were, because all them gals for me was a distraction. Because that's what I used, that was one of the things I was weak to. But God, even through the weakness, even through the improprieties, even through the mistakes and the bad decisions, God was with me. He kept me from going further than I should have went every time. And he allowed the calling to be there. I was out with the 10-point coalition, walking the streets one night. And a guy comes up, slams on the brakes of his car. He sees us on Oxford, slams on the brakes. And my brother said, I'm sitting down on this little bench. Yeah, we had been walking for an hour or so, a couple hours. And my brother said, man, watch that car. That don't look right. And I said this because I just believe God. I said, he's probably just a guy that knows one of us. And then the car backed up and put in this thing and sat there for a minute and he put a mask on his face. And he gets out the car and I'm sitting there, I'm kind of looking at him. But I'm on God's mission. I'm just trusting God. That guy comes up, he was a guy who used to work where I work at. He had gotten fired. I'm the team coordinator out there. He comes, and my brother didn't see him. They just said, "Hey, what's up, so-and-so?" Called his name. And he walked past him, and I'm sitting down. He walked up on me, balled up both his fists and put his knees in my chest, called me a couple bad names, said, "You lied on me. You got me fired." Now, listen. My brother's about 6'5", 300 pounds. He's standing here. I've got 9 other members of the 10-point coalition. They're all standing here. But I didn't look to those things because there was 2 things. One, the young man was wrong. I tried to save his job. He didn't know, but I went to the office and said, "Let me work with him because that's what I do. I'm not trying to lead anybody off." I said, "Let me work with him." They said, "Lyle, we normally would, but he's done this too many times. That's his last straw." Now, I knew he was getting fired, but as a team coordinator, I can't go tell him, you know. So when he said that, I pushed him back up off me so I could stand up. And when I pushed him back up off me, he went for his waistband. Now, my little sister's out there, too, because she walked with us, and I pushed her out the way. I said, move, and get out of the way. And somehow the young man became dumbfounded. God dumbfounded the young man because there was no pistol there. He's reaching and reaching and reaching, and there's no pistol. I grabbed my phone and began to call. He looked up. He said, "You're calling the police." Now, you a killer. What you care about that? You know what I mean? He said, "You're calling the police," and he began to run. He began to run. That might have been enough for me to say, "You know what? Man, I'm not going back out here." See, I got a nice little apartment, man. I got a nice little place, and I'm across town. I'm not out there in the madness. It's been easy, but that's not what God called me to do. Not what He's called you to do. You can either settle for the comfort zone, or you can go with the calling. The calling is where He is. I want to be where God is. I want to be where Jesus is. I want the Holy Spirit to be with me everywhere I go. I seen that same young man 2 nights ago. Well, today's Monday. Yeah, Saturday night, I was out walking. I was at the Pontiac Mall. And I looked around me, and the young man was sitting behind me in the car. He just smiled. He said, "Man, I sure feel like a fool." He said, "I want to apologize, man." He said, "I was wrong as wrong can be." God will protect you in your calling, man. It's not your walk He's going anyway. It's not your mission. It's His. But we've got to leave our comfort zone. You say, "Well, I never done this before. I never prayed before. I never spoke in front of people before. I don't feel comfortable going out in the streets dealing with people. I don't feel comfortable calling and trying to get things set up or to organize or coordinate some things." But if God is calling you, go. You got to leave your comfort zone. Moses had to leave. When Moses was strong and a killer, God didn't call him. The calling was on his life, but that's not when He called him. He sent him away till he was 85, sick with 85. And then He called him back. Said, "Go by, I want you to go, Moses, into the land where they said, 'The day I see your face again, I'll kill you.'" How many people going back? How many people going back? Would you go back to the place where they say, "The day I see your face again, I'll kill you"? And now you're not strong anymore. You don't have that posse with you no more. You don't have those AKs with you no more. It's you going in with the word of God. Would you go? Moses went, and you know the rest of the story. Gideon, when he got called, he was scared to death. He questioned the Lord. He said, "No, you got to be a mistake. You can't be calling me." He said, "My tribe is the least of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my tribe. Get somebody else." He said, "No, I'm calling you." Gideon questioned him. See, sometimes God knows you're fallible. See, Gideon wasn't, he told God, he said, "Listen, Lord, I don't know this you calling." Because God has spoken to somebody in this room tonight at one time or another, and you weren't sure that was God speaking to you because you didn't know his voice. You never dealt with that before. And he said, Lord, if this is you calling, I'm going to lay a fleece down under this tree. And when I get up in the morning, I want the ground around the fleece to be wet and the fleece to be dry. He said, and if that's you, then I'll know then that's you. He came out the next morning. The ground was wet all around the fleece, but the fleece was dry. That would have been enough for you, wouldn't it, Watson? Wasn't enough for Gideon. See, I'm saying this because sometimes we think we're not good enough, but these people were just like us. Gideon was still scared, Watson. He told, Lord, hey, please don't be mad at me. But let's try this one more time. He said, if it's really you this time, I'm going to lay the fleece out. I want you to make the fleece wet and the ground all around it dry. He came back the next morning. The fleece was soaking wet and the ground all around it was dry. That would have been enough for you, wouldn't it, Watson? Should have been enough for Gideon. But the Lord knew Gideon was still just a little bit afraid. He said, Gideon, go down to the corner of the camp. Go down to the edge of the camp and just sit. And he went down there. And the Bible says he heard two of the enemy talking. And the one said, hey, man, I had a dream. He said, in this dream, these tumbleweeds were running down through the camp, bowling stuff over. The other soldier said, oh, my Lord. He said, if that was you saw in your dream, that means the Lord has truly given us to the hand of Gideon. And you know the rest of the story. But we can't be afraid. We have to get out of the comfort zone. We have to get out of the comfort zone and go to your calling. You will never be what God called you to be in the comfort zone. You have to trust him. I've said this before. The difference in your destiny and your lot in life is your lot in life is where you choose to settle. It's where you choose to settle. If you keep going and saying, God, I'm here, but I'll still go where you take me, God will deal with you. Let's pray.